Nova Scotia, and how are you this Wednesday morning? Hi, and welcome to the show today as we hit midweek. I'm Rakow with you until 12:30 this afternoon. It is 9 o'clock right now, and here's what we've got coming up on the show for you today. We're paying $1.14.2 for gas in the city this morning. So where are prices headed this week when Nova Scotia's regulatory system makes its Thursday midnight adjustment? We'll hear what our analyst George Murphy thinks, and he's got some good news for us here this morning. My Double X Files panel is here later this hour to talk about some of the issues in the news of late. And then we'll go to the phones at 10 to hear what you've got to say this morning. An open hour is coming up next hour. We call it the Midweek Meltdown, and as always, anything goes. Dr. John Gillis joins me at 11 this morning with another House Calls visit and the answers to your healthcare questions. And after the news at noon, Veterans Advocate Peter Stauffer joins me with some thoughts on the BC Court of Appeals decision this week that struck down a lawsuit by injured military veterans who are looking to win back lifelong disability pensions. Those pensions were replaced in 2006 with a lump sum payment. And we'll hear author Joan Baxter's reaction to a decision to cancel her book signing event last weekend at a new Glasgow bookstore. Her book, The Mill, 50 Years of Pulp and Protest, is critical of Northern Pulp, and she suspects the company is behind the cancellation. But first up this morning, just before we say hi to the president of the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, News 95.7 reporter Mark Hodgins is down at Fort Needham Park taking in the memorial, the Halifax Explosion 100th Anniversary Service that is underway here right now. Mark, good morning, and I guess the rain really hasn't impacted the crowd, a large crowd down there this morning.
Oh, yeah, Rick. Lots of people here this morning. Lots of umbrellas, too, of course. They've just snuck under some trees here to kind of escape the rain for a second. But, yes, definitely a huge crowd this morning to remember the centennial.
And the mayor is speaking right now as I look at a television screen.
He is, yep. It seems that area councillor Lindell Smith is handling the master of ceremonies duty this morning. And the mayor is speaking right now. Premier Stephen McNeil is here as well. The Arthur J. LeBlanc, Lieutenant Governor, lots of dignitaries here this morning.
And actually, the blast happened 100 years ago in about 2 minutes at 9:05 a.m. And I'm assuming they're going to have a moment of silence at that time, Mark. Is that your understanding?
It seems that might be happening right now, Rick. They just rang the bell, and there is nothing happening at the moment. So I think that the moment of silence might have just begun.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Mark, thank you for the update. And again, the ceremony underway down at Fort Needham Park, the 100th anniversary service of the Halifax explosion, December 6, 1917. 9:04 is our time right now. Well, first up this morning, British Columbia and Manitoba, the latest provinces to announce they will allow private enterprise to sell marijuana when it becomes legal in July. We're still waiting for Nova Scotia to unveil its plans for legal pot, but the province seems intent on handling sales through the Nova Scotia Liquor Corp. The Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, though, is urging the McNeil government to rethink that strategy. It says the economic future of Nova Scotia rests in growing greater entrepreneurship in this province, not in making government expand further and deeper into the marketplace. AIMS President Marco Navarro-Gini joins me on the phone to start off our day here today. Marco, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. Well, tell us why you think it's better for the province to, again, allow private enterprise to get involved in this as opposed to the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation.
Well, you know, we had this thing called the Ivany Commission a few years back. And the fundamental message in the report, which, by the way, this government embraces, is that we need to grow a more robust entrepreneurial muscle in the province. And so this really is what I see anyway as the development of the first major area of the market since the dot-coms nearly a generation ago. So this is pretty significant. And so here we have this wonderful opportunity, and the government seems to be leaning, and I hope to be wrong about this, but judging by the online survey that they had a few weeks ago, they seem to be leaning towards the NSLC model, which is not really an entrepreneurial model. So my hope is that that the government would rethink this, as you said, and really put the retail of this area of the market in the hands of private entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I had Premier McNeil on the show yesterday and asked him about that situation, and he kind of danced around the question, didn't seem to be real open to allowing private enterprise to get involved in the sale of legal pot. But I'm looking here at, again, an announcement yesterday by both Manitoba and British Columbia. Manitoba wants its legal pot to be sold by private licensed retailers in a system controlled through the Manitoba Liquor Board. And BC also intends to allow for both public and private vendors.
Yeah, and Alberta is going private as well. There are several. We don't need to be following the model of Ontario and New Brunswick. One of the points that I make in the piece that appeared in the Herald yesterday is that, you know, NSLC jobs are decent jobs by any standard, but they're not going to promote entrepreneurship. They promote essentially, you know, being an employee, and there is nothing wrong with that, except that we're supposed to be promoting entrepreneurship. And this is particularly important, perhaps, for rural areas where there is very little, often in some areas, very little opportunity for entrepreneurship and for starting new things. And, you know, it's up to people to see if there is a need in the market for them to fill it. We have declared this substance legal, so that's not a problem. And what is more, there is a significant portion of the market in this area that we have declared to be medicinal. And so, you know, it's not like people will be handling, nuclear waste or anything like that. It's a legal substance now.
Indeed. And we already have, again, dispensaries that have set up around the city that sell medicinal pot and seem, you know, ready to take over responsibility for legal marijuana once July 1st rolls around. But again, the question seems to be the province doesn't appear to be too interested in that.
No, and this is also a big thing because part of the intended outcomes of this policy is to draw money and activity away from what we call the illicit market or the black market, right? And this is not the first time governments are doing this. We've had some nasty experiences when this has happened because we make it available through government, and governments sell it at a price that is far too high. So there is no competition really with the dark area of the market, which are very good at distributing things. The best way to do this, if you really want to take energy away from the black market, is to bring people in from the shadows and allow them to sell and allow them licenses and control. The way that you control, for example, drugs that are legally sold in the market through pharmacies and what have you. It doesn't have to be a nefarious thing.
And one of the advantages of the dispensaries right now is they have knowledge of the product and would be able to, again, answer questions that potential customers might have about, you know, THC levels and those kinds of things.
Yes, because this product is not one size fits all. Right, and we know this from experience and in experiences in other places that have already legalized the market, and so the best way to deliver is not going to be through government, who is going to give you one, two, or three choices if you're lucky. The private market is the best suited to explore different areas, to explore different products, to think about different ways of doing things and make things better.
But in most of the country, it seems the police are cracking down on these dispensaries right now.
Well, yeah, because they haven't been properly set up, Rick. This is part of the problem. We are rushing into this. And we're not going to do the necessary thinking. We're not looking at the experiences of places that have had either good lessons to teach us, and I'm afraid to say that there are probably the number of bad lessons is greater than the one of good ones, but we can also learn a great deal from the bad lessons.
Indeed. Quentin's given us a call with a comment here on this issue this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So it's Clinton DeVoe here. I'm a longtime conservative activist and a conservative organizer. And I firmly believe that we need to have more market alternatives. So I agree with your guest that you have this morning. I also believe that by putting it in the hands of the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation or other such entities, that we're going to have inflated prices. We're going to have limited availability, and it's just bad for the consumer, just generally speaking.
What's the position of the PC party on this issue, Clinton?
I don't know. I'm speaking strictly as a conservative activist, but I can tell you that there are many, many conservative activists right across Nova Scotia and right across Canada that believe in free markets, in entrepreneurship, that believe that they should be a market-driven alternative instead of being placed in the hands of a bloated government that's going to overcharge the consumer, that's going to limit the amount of options, and is going to limit the various qualities of product that's available.
Appreciate.
I just want to say thank you to your guest.
All right, appreciate the call, Clinton. And Marco, any comment on what he just had to say?
Well, I think the first thing I should say is that, you know, we are a charity and we accept donations to do our research. So to Clinton and anybody who is like-minded, feel free to contribute. He's bang on. We believe, as he does, that in situations like this, there needs to be a certain amount of control. We don't want little children easily access this kind of substance. But, again, it is a licit substance, and the market should be allowed to do its thing. We think that the people who actually consume it, especially those who need it for medicinal purposes, will be best suited by allowing the market to offer as many possibilities as there are.
And he also touched on something that I found interesting as well, and that he, under the Liquor Corporation, the available outlets might be somewhat limited, while the dispensaries, could... There could be dozens of them.
This is also a very interesting point, because the government doesn't want to be selling these things. Ontario and New Brunswick have already declared that they're selling it through their liquor corporations, but they don't want to be selling it in the same store. So that means they're going to have to open new stores. Do we need that expense? And second, they can only open so many. Ontario announced that they will open 150, and New Brunswick announced that they'll be opening 20. If you divide that number by the huge number of the population of Ontario, it amounts to one store per 91,000 people. That means that the availability is not going to be as good. What happens when the availability is not good? Two things, probably. The prices are going to go up, and B, people will go on their way to the shiny new store, passing by, you know, several different entrepreneurs on the street, the very people that we're trying to get rid of. And so it'll do nothing for the black market. In fact, it only feed it even more.
David has given us a call with a question as well here this morning. Hi, David.
Hey, Rick. How are you today?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
Good. Just a quick question. I'll hang up and listen to the answer. I'm wondering why this is a medical product. Why isn't this not just sold in pharmacies and cut everybody else out?
Interesting question. Marco, I know that Shoppers Drug Mart just applied for a license, if I'm not mistaken, just this week.
Yeah, the product really is multifaceted if you think about it, right? There are strands of cannabis that are medicinal and sold as medicinal, and there are strands that are sold as recreational. We don't really have much of a comparison in the market. But in some countries, for example, you can walk into France into a pharmacy and buy a bottle of Benedictine or B&B, and it has a sticker. You peel off the sticker and you send it to the government, and you get a rebate because it is considered to have medicinal purposes. So there are places in which they sell alcohol in pharmacies because it's considered to have medicinal purposes. So there is really no reason why the medical strands of this product cannot be sold in pharmacies and in private outlets as such.
The federal government in Ottawa is leaving it up to the provinces, though, to decide how they'd like to sell the product when it's legal. And as we mentioned already, a number of provinces have unveiled their plans. We are still waiting to hear what Nova Scotia's intentions are. But as you said earlier, they do seem to be leaning towards selling the product through the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation.
That's right. The production, the growth and production of the product is regulated by the federal government, and the sale and distribution is left up to the provinces, and that is as it should be. Different provinces are handling it differently. Newfoundland, by the way, here in Atlantic Canada, is going more the way of a blended model. A little bit like Manitoba's. Manitoba's is not the ideal system, but it is better to allow a certain amount of entrepreneurship than none at all. And so I hope that the Nova Scotia government will rethink the inclination that they seem to have at the moment.
We'll see. We'll see sometime down the road. Marco, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Rick.
Have a great day, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Marco Navarro-Gini, the president of the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies.